This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Let's go! Roquan Smith just decapitated Aaron Jones. What's that bull doing?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown! There's the record breaker for Jonathan Taylor!
H.M., have a game!
The Rich Eisen Show.
Keenan Allen, reception number 956.
Today's guests. Seahawks defensive end, Leonard Williams. Monday Night Preview. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. First 2 hours, just like this one, is on Disney Plus, ESPN app streaming everywhere for you to see it or listening to it on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM Channel 80. We say hello to our podcast listeners, all 3 hours available that way as well. Same thing as Overreaction Monday. Chris Brockman and I recorded that before we went on the air. In this show over the last 2 hours, taking your phone calls, reviewing much of the week number 10, just hit on college football a little bit with the way Indiana and Penn State went down over the weekend. And again, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The Giants bounced their head coach, Brian Daboll, right in the middle of hour number one. We've been talking about it. And again, your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. As I mentioned, over the last 5 years, the New York Jets 25-52, the Giants 24-53-1. So I'm pleased to welcome in a man who's played 5 seasons each, some of them overlapping with the Jets and the Giants. It's a man now of the 7-2 Seattle Seahawks in his 11th season in the National Football League. Great to see Leonard Williams here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Leonard? Good to see you.
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
You bet. How does it feel to be 7-2 right now?
It feels amazing, I got to say. It feels good.
Because, again, I just kind of recounted, you know, being a Jet and a Giant and having all of those times. And, you know, I'll revisit that just in a brief bit for briefly with you. But I do want to talk about your current situation first and how things have changed over there. You arrived just a couple of seasons ago. Mike McDonald did as well. What is clicking and working for you there that you can put your finger on, Leonard?
I think it's just the identity that we're creating in the house that, you know, Coach Mike has done a tremendous job of doing in his 2 years here so far. And, you know, we just create such a hard work ethic. We believe in process over results. So we learned that, you know, after a win to stay humble, go back to the process. It's not about the results, and vice versa after a loss. It's just always going back to our process. And I think we are creating a tremendous amount of just belief in our team and belief in our coaching staff and belief in one another.
Well, obviously, that's not easy to do. Again, you're the way that you were born into this league and how you went through some rough times trying to win football games with your teammates. And I'm sure all the coaches that you had there wanted to instill the same thing, but were unable to do that. What is Mike McDonald's power, superpower in that respect, Leonard?
I mean, I would just say the trust that the players have from him comes from just his knowledge of the game. You can tell I'm a defensive player. He's a defensive coach. So I'm speaking from, you know, firsthand experience that, you know, he's a smart coach. He knows what he's doing. He puts his players in position to win. And he also coaches all of us differently. He knows that we all have different strengths, different weaknesses. He's not going to expect one person to do something the exact same way as the next guy. And he allows like a good blend of it being like, you know, his principles and the way that he wants things, but also allowing the players to have a role and take the keys of the team as well. And, you know, we have a big, you know, back and forth with the coaches and players that creates a more symbiotic type of situation.
So, yeah, I mean, Pete Carroll's last year was your first year there. And then obviously McDonald shows up. How have things been different from year one to year two with Mike McDonald that you might be able to point out, Leonard?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, like I love Pete Carroll. You know, I'm so happy that he traded me here. He was a big players coach, had a lot of fun. And I think Mike came in and, you know, they're just very different personalities, I would say. I think Mike had to learn the social aspect because he was such a, you know, X's and O's type of guy. And, you know, Pete was a very social guy. He had the team very bonded. And I think Mike has done a good job of now learning the social aspect and being able to incorporate both his knowledge of the game and now learning how to also be really sociable and a player's coach as well. And I think, you know, those are the best type of coaches to me that, you know the game, know football, know the X's and O's, and also are personable and can get along with the players and that sortness. You know, that stuff.
Yeah, and it just is all working. I mean, this thing was a wrap almost right away yesterday. And what is that like to be on a team? You're watching your teammate DeMarcus Lawrence return two to the house like that. Yeah. And you know what it's like when the 12s start getting wound up in that crowd. It's just a big momentum shift that is so tough for the opponent to overcome. What is that like, Leonard, if you can describe that?
I mean, it's huge. It feels amazing. You know, my whole career, I've heard this term, you're either playing meaningful football in December or you're not. And, you know, a lot of times in my career, I was not playing meaningful football in December, and it makes the season feel really long. You're out there playing, knowing you're not going to the playoffs, and it just makes the season feel hard and long and dragged out. Whereas like now there's like excitement in the building. There's, you know, people are looking forward to that next game. People are looking forward to the future. We're playing meaningful football in December. You know, guys are rooting and cheering for each other and looking forward to going against good opponents, looking forward to just getting better every week. And, I mean, it's just been an amazing, you know, amazing time this year.
Now, again, I'm not doing this to stir anything up, Leonard, I swear to you. But after, after DeMarcus returns one, then he gets another. Is there a part of you going, what gives? How come I, you know, certainly since the second one kind of like dropped right there too. Like, are you sitting there going like, what about me? I mean, I'm just as much of a hard worker. I've been in this league forever and a day just like him. What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody wants there is, you know, in a game, we all work so hard and we all put the work in that, you know, you want to see the plays and the results happen on Sunday. But at the same time, it's like, I couldn't be, you know, as happy as anyone, you know, to see a teammate make a play like that. It was crazy to see it happen back to back, though. And like you said, it was like, we were joking this morning how, you know, I've been around football, you know, for so long at this point in my life, and I'm still seeing new things. It was crazy to see that play happen back to back, the same exact way, same exact two guys on the play. And, you know, DeMarcus didn't even have to break stride when he was running into the end zone. He was just running and the ball was in his hand at the same time.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
That's what I'm saying. Why not you, man? I mean, you're
yeah, exactly.
You're working hard. You're a hard worker.
You both got to ask him that.
That's what I'm saying. You know, again, I don't want to stir anything up. You've also got to be very pleased as a fellow USC Trojan to see what's happening with Sam Darnold and what he's doing for your team and what you guys are doing collectively. Can you walk me through what you saw when he first arrived and what you're seeing right now and how those two moments might connect in any way, shape, or form? Leonard?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our connection from USC and our connection from the Jets, you know, we had a little bit of crossover on the Jets as well. So I got to see him come in as a rookie. You know, I remember I wasn't around him as long. I got traded that same year, I believe. But it's just really amazing to see him grow as a leader, his maturity, his discipline. You know, I just see the same guy every single day. And I'm not just saying this. This is like one of the best quarterbacks I've been around in terms of his process. Every time I see him on the airplane or wherever it is, he looks like he's watching film. He's working with the receivers. He's just constantly trying to find small details to get better. And I think it's showing. I mean, he's playing some of his best ball right now. And it's just great to see him lead the team, lead the offense.
Yeah, and again, seeing him in college and then obviously seeing him in the pros, You were witnessing when he was in college, I'm sure rooting for the Trojans from where you were, Leonard, right? Watching those highs and then being there when he showed up with the Jets and seeing the potential lows and watching him go through his career. And now here you are, you're in year 11. He's in now with his fourth different team right now, making it. I'm wondering what you saw of his journey and what you think is his fortitude here that you can shed some light on from your personal perch?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I could shed a lot of light on it just because I feel like I've been through a similar situation in my career. You know, I've been on, this is my third team now. I'm on year 11, and now I'm, you know, I believe I'm playing some of my best ball now. And, you know, I've seen the same journey for Sam where he, you know, started off on the Jets and got traded around and was kind of, you know, looked past and, you know, guys were undervaluing him and things of that nature. And I think he's that type of process and time in the league just creates humility and just creates a work ethic that that I think Sam has right now.
And obviously, you know, when he's operating the offense, you're on the sideline, maybe doing, you know, your thing on a tablet or with a coach or with your teammates. But do you sometimes stop and watch Jackson Smith and Jigba do his thing, Leonard?
Yeah, we do as a defensive line, actually, because we always talk about how there's some similarities there between a receiver and a defensive lineman in terms of the way we have to create space, get guys on off balance and things of that nature. And, you know, just from understanding that as a defensive lineman, I think we can kind of understand when we see a great route or we see a great move that Jackson puts on. And he's been incredible to watch. I mean, and it makes our job a lot easier as well, because we know when we go to the sideline, we see third down and things like that when we're on the sideline, and we just, you know, we have a lot of faith in our team that they're going to get the first down with, you know, with 11 out there on the field. And he's just unstoppable right now.
He is. I mean, he's got over 1,000 yards through 9 games. He's really threatening a Calvin type season. And then for him to do it after DK winds up in Pittsburgh and it's now his role, right? Fair or unfair? We all understand the way things sometimes get portrayed in the media. I'm wondering what your perspective is from that point of view of how he's been able to do it in just 9 games of being the man there.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say from my time here, from you know, I think I got traded here his second year in the league, or his first year, can't remember, but from the time I've been around him, I could just tell that he takes on his role just to 100%. I think he was fully okay with being wide receiver 2 or 3 and was like fully soaking up all the information he could from the guys in front of him, like Tyler Lockett and DK. And, you know, he's just 100% in his role. And now that they, you know, bumped him to the number one receiver and he's the guy, it's like he's, again, like leaning 100% into that role, and he's very capable. And I think he did a good job of just taking in as much information as possible from those guys that were here while he was here.
All right. Two questions for you, and then I'll let you go on the rest of your Monday. And I really appreciate you joining me here after such a big win and in such a big week for you. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you your thoughts of the Giants firing Brian Daboll today. Again, you know the organization, you know the front office and the way things have gone there for the Giants. Do you have any thoughts when you heard that news today?
That's actually news to me right now, just because you know, I just woke up and was kind of focused on my team this morning, came in and worked out, so this is news to me. You know, I always thought of him as a great guy. He was a player's coach. I got along with him pretty well, and you know, I'm definitely wishing him luck on his future. I definitely got to hit up some of my guys that I know over there and, you know, see how they feel and see how they're doing.
All right. And so you just woke up, huh? Man, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Damn.
No, man. I've been here for a little bit, but I just haven't been on my phone. I have a good rule of not being on my phone too much after a game.
You know? Really? What do you mean? What's that rule? Yeah. What is that rule? What is it?
I just like to like keep my head clear and like not focus too much on the media and things like that. I like to just be where my feet are. And a lot of times after games, I notice, you know, guys get on the bus and like that's like one of the first things they do is they want to check their phone. They want to check Twitter. They want to see what people are saying. And to me, actually, I like to stay out of all the noise for at least 24 hours.
Okay. All right. So then I know you have to go. So last one for you, Leonard. What is this week going to be like? What a big game. You got the Rams. They're playing on tilt right now. The quarterback that you're going to have to stop the run on the way to has been on fire. What do you think this game's going to be like and what this week's going to be like? 7-2 at 7-2. Cooper Kupp going back there too, Leonard.
Like you said, they're on fire. We know that as a team. And like I've been saying, our team is looking forward to getting better every week. We're looking forward to playing great opponents to see where we're at. And I think this is one of those matchups where, you know, we're going to be able to see where we're at. So we're definitely treating this week very serious, as we always do. And I think that's one thing that we have to focus on this week is treating it the same. Like I've been saying, it's going back to the process. I think if we make any game too big or too little, we're going to get off track. So I think we just need to stay exactly how we've been treating it and going back to the process.
Leonard, thanks for the time. Again, like I said, I know day after a game, it's always quite the day. But congrats on the 7-2 start, and I look forward to chatting again real soon. Thank you.
Sir, thank you.
You got it. That's Leonard Williams, everybody, in his 11th year. The 7-2 Seahawks right here on the Rich Eisen Show. There he goes. What a big, huge game. And he is just anchoring. He is anchoring. How dare he say he doesn't pay attention to the media? That's number one.
For 24 hours.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah, 24 hours.
I mean, anything longer than 24 hours would be awful for us. 7-2 versus 7-2. Cooper Kupp back in the building. Whose house is it? You know?
Coop's.
Devontae Adams at one point gave a little scare with his lower back, but he's all right. He's all right.
He is okay.
Yeah, apparently he's okay.
Oblique.
Puka's doing it. All these tight ends you've never really heard of half the time are doing it.
So many tight
ends. Kyren Williams doing it, defensively doing it. Speaking of guys you never heard of, the Seahawks again lead the league in those people scoring. Defensively, they're on fire. McDonald is going to be calling the defensive plays. McVay, the offensive plays. Let's go. Let's go. Because as much as you see McVay and Shanahan, they're not calling plays against each other. This one, different story. Different story. Can't wait for it. We'll be talking about it all week long and setting the table for that. Back on the Rich Eisen Show with your phone calls. We will talk about the Chicago Bears also still to come here on this program on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Keep your career moving forward with growth opportunities, great pay, and benefits in one of the country's top workplaces. Go to careers.progressive.com and apply today. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Rich Eisen here for Sonos, the speakers that bring every game to life in my own house. With studio quality sound, Sonos makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium. Whether you're cheering on your team, binging your favorite show, or listening to the hottest songs, Sonos fills every room with incredible sound. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, and you're ready to go. Want stadium quality sound at home just like me? Because I love Sonos. You will too. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
back on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Nick in Los Angeles, California. Nick, What's up, Nick?
Hello. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on again, Rich.
Yep.
You know, I don't know if you remember, but I was agitating for Dable to be fired. You know, I was buzzing like a little bee.
Okay.
And it finally happened, and I'm very pleased. We have Coach Kafka, which is very fitting because the last few years have certainly been Kafka-esque.
Listen to him. I don't think people thought there would be any reading on this exam, sir. So be careful, Nick. Be careful. no language arts.
I have a little brief message for Coach Dable on behalf of all Giants fans. So, Brian, on behalf of myself and all Giants fans, I want to thank you for your service. And despite your inability to consistently field a healthy kicker or hold on to a fourth quarter lead or even understand when you should go for it on fourth down the goal line or not, we appreciate your effort. You also heavily encouraged the Jackson Dart decision, which was a great call. So, you know, we wish you did better during your time here, and I'm sure you did too. So farewell, sweet prince. Mm. Your watch has ended.
Thank you very much, Nick in Illinois and in Los Angeles.
I've got to hire Kim Jong-Seer, the next coach. He's a local business leader.
Sorry, we unfortunately got to lose him. Nick's cell reception was pretty terrible there. And it's kind of crazy how Brian Dable gets fired today after another loss in which Jackson Dart was showing how talented he is, how energetic he is, how he was the right choice, and hardly none of that gets ascribed to Dable setting the stage for him. And how this was another defeat snatched from the jaws of victory. And this time around, when he goes out with a concussion, Dable isn't barking in the blue tent to see where he is because he doesn't want to have Russell Wilson out there when he knows that Russell's not equipped to lead this team to victory. And that led to, as we know, a fine, and it led to an investigation, and it's just, I don't know how, obviously, being a coach in this league will drive you crazy, and it'll change the way that you approach your job, change the way that you approach everything. That ultimately what cost him this time around in this game, outside of Dart being hurt, and now everyone is kind of blaming him for putting Dart in harm's way as much as he did with some of the play calling and things of that nature, is how on fourth down, they go for a field goal to go up by 20-10 instead of going for it, even after a penalty puts it closer inside the one. And he still decides to kick it. And this is the guy who, in his first game as head coach, if you remember, against the Titans, goes for it for a two-point conversion for the win rather than an extra point to tie it. Yep. He wins it, and that launched an entire season's worth of success, a Coach of the Year campaign for him, a successful Coach of the Year campaign for him, and a playoff season for the Giants, their last one. And we all know what that win for the Giants and the decisions that they made with the quarterback and running back have led to this present day, in which Saquon takes the field for the Philadelphia Eagles with a ring on his finger and a 6-2 record that's the best in the NFC coming into this week, needing to win to keep up with the rest of the NFC West that's leading. But it's just interesting how that guy goes from game one, we're going for it on a two-point conversion, follow me to freedom. And this time around, it's just like, oh, well, we're just going to kick that extra point, go up by 10.
Yeah.
And, of course, Dart goes out. Then, I don't know why Jameis is rendered useless. If I'm Kafka, do you just, like, say, hey, stay in the concussion protocol. You stay where you are, Jackson. We're starting Jameis this week. And then just try and wing it around. And he's like the different version of Tommy Cutlets. But the Giants fans are all out of Tommy Cutlets. They're like, we're done with that. We want to win with Jackson freaking Dart and start winning some football games. But this year is not it. Now you're 2-8 with an interim head coach. And part of the reason why is because you couldn't hold on to a lead in Chicago against a Bears team that was ready to just disintegrate. And in terms of the Bears on Sunday, I mean, it was all going south in this game. Started well, then Dart put his foot in the ground. And again, he's just got an ability to get some momentum and just start making plays on you. And a Bears defense that's used to just dominating and turning people over in their wins started to wilt. In a day where it's flurrying and it's freezing in Chicago, this is exactly when an opportunistic defense is supposed to get it done. But Caleb also, and an offense, supposed to get it done. And they were losing. And here we go. Here's another rookie quarterback playing way much better than Caleb is in terms of a consistency level. If they were going to lose this game, it's back to like, okay, so now we're roller coastering with this guy. We're up, and then we're down, and we're up, and there's no consistent just ascension. And here we were talking again about ball placement and things about how he's not doing this and he's not doing that. And then the fourth quarter hits, and guess what he does? Same thing that he did against Cincinnati, which is make some plays when all things look dark with his legs and with his arms. He scores one, running it in. It was exhilarating. I could only imagine what it must have been like in that stadium with Bears fans watching him run it in, especially when Dart's running it in. And Dart's doing all these things, and they're sitting there probably thinking, this rookie guy from the Bears who doesn't have, from the Giants, who doesn't have Roma Dunze and doesn't have all these other players, he's doing it. Why isn't Caleb? Well, for the second straight week, he does it in the fourth quarter. His passer rating in his last two fourth quarters, 123.5. 23.5% better than his passer rating in the fourth quarter. By the way, that's his. He's now got a 100 passer rating in the fourth quarter this year. He had a passer rating in the fourth quarters all of last year of 95.3. He's getting better with the game on the line, more accurate, and making better decisions. And Ben Johnson, here's the difference between winning and losing. If he was losing, it's just like, can you just run the play instead of running around for your life, please? Like, we're scheming these guys open. If one's not open, throw it to two. And instead, you do what you do to win the game in two back-to-back fourth quarters. Right. Now suddenly you're pulling magic. Now you're magic. Listen to the soundbite from the coach here.
He looks like a Houdini back there in the backfield because, like I said, that's a really good pass-rushing front that they've given a lot of teams fits. I think Burns is leading the NFL in sacks. And so there are times where he's trying to escape and making some things happen. He had a couple throws down the field, but like you said, over 50 yards again rushing for the second week in a row. And I thought in the fourth quarter there, we really needed that as a shot in the arm to end up winning that ball game. So credit to him.
Okay. So and now again, you go from not running the play in a timely fashion, right? Yeah, you're giving up on the play too soon to now, boy, the escapability is something that's else. Right, right? It really is.
Say some of his instincts. I think some of it's lifting and training. I think the other part of it is visualizing those moments that the defender's leverage and things like that, and being able to take advantage of his leverage. And then other than that, it's just being smart in those moments. If it's time to throw the ball away or dirt it, anything like that, dirt it. If it's not, and I can make a play, go make a play for this team and, do whatever I need from there. But, I think it's those couple things that I do, throughout the week, throughout the year, visualizing those moments.
So I guess to use a magic phrase, abracadabra, voila, look who's in the seventh seed in a playoff spot if all things started today. Uh-oh. In the National Football Conference. That would be your 6-3 Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
Half game better than the Niners. Vikings are knocking on the door. If they can start playing consistently, the Panthers are 5-5. As we know, the Bears and the Cowboys, I don't think the two should meet. But Bears have got, with eight games to go, halfway through their schedule. I'm not going to go high register. They are a playoff team right now because their defense is – how about this? Their defense is turning things over. They've outscored their opponent 30-18 in their last two fourth quarters. And the defense keeps on taking it away. 20 takeaways in the in this season. That's the most in the National Football League. And may I ask you this? If Ben Johnson's trying to bring what he did to from Detroit to Chicago, do they have their Bears version of Sonic and Knuckles? Swift and Monongai. Because Monongai is running downhill inside the 10. That's pretty effective.
Yeah, it's like the Timu version of...
We started the show by showing how Jahmyr Gibbs is setting records for most touchdowns before turning 24. Yeah. That ain't the DeAndre Swift. And, you know, Monongai's a rookie. But the run game certainly looks pretty damn good.
Really?
And Komet and Loveland. Colston Loveland's coming on.
Yeah, Loveland's coming on.
Adunze actually caught passes,
yeah.
Huh?
That pass Loveland caught.
Yeah, he snagged it from behind.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Because, again, that's the conversation. You heard it from Daniel Jeremiah. You've heard it from Kurt Warner here, if you pay attention, and we hope you do on the program, because we keep on bringing guests on who are really smart and telling you things, and we put it all together because we don't just host shows. We weave tapestries around here.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
It's Caleb Williams' ball placement. You got to work on the accuracy. Where are you putting it? Doesn't matter if you got guys who can catch it.
That was amazing.
So, yes, give it up to the Bears, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, DJ Moore gets banged up, Luther Burden steps in. You know, they're making stuff happen.
If this keeps on going on, Ashton Kutcher's going to take TJ to an NFC Championship game, despite the Cowboys being there, too.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter to them. They'll just go hang out.
I don't think that we're going make it.
No, I don't think so.
Get your damn act together.
Thank you,
TJ.
You know, speaking of higher register, you know, week six, my higher register was if the Bears got past with Washington, they were going to go on a run. And they've gone on a run.
So now, Caleb's by the way, good use of higher register there. Let me ask you this question, Chris. Knowing us as you do, me enjoying power rankings as much as I do after pooping on it, this guy...
Now quoting his own
higher registers twice after saying, I don't speak in higher register. I am a naturally lower register guy.
Yeah. Sure.
Not just in voice box, but also demeanor. Mm-hmm. Like we're asking him to remove himself from his lane to do that.
Doesn't change the result.
Does he now? None of this that's changes. Now twice he's quoted his own higher register on this program.
I mean, I'm the last of the three of us to ever mention a higher register that has gone
through. I think he's starting to get it.
I'm not asking you your thoughts. I'm asking him his thoughts on our, I would say.
Well, one of us had a Caleb Williams higher register literally last week.
You know,
but,
no. It's not about you. I'm talking about our transformation as broadcasters. Together.
I mean, I think it's great when you guys are
doing. Okay, very good.
That was a good job.
One. Very good one.
You guys are doing great with it.
That's great.
Awesome. What a development for our show.
All right. Let's take a break. Let's set the stage for tonight. Was that a snort? Who snorted?
That was my bad.
Yeah. Snorted.
I don't know where that came from.
Whoa. My God.
Wow.
This whole segment began with Tracy Morgan talking about how he sold cocaine and ends with a snort.
I hear a snort.
Snort. Guys, we're on Disney.
Stop, everybody. Del Tufo.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With the all-new Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from good to excellent. Introducing the new Sleep Score on Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
As you know, I care deeply about pediatric cancer research and awareness. It's why I'm proud to talk about Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. together with over 850 dealers nationwide. They've raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. The
season's been great. It really is phenomenal.
Oh, what season? The Rich Eisen Show?
NFL.
Oh, okay. You've been paying attention?
Yes, I've actually been.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, every single time I see you, you're taking a picture of your toothy selfie.
I've done something that you haven't realized.
What is
you
that?
Notice the phone's not in my hands as much.
No, I haven't.
Oh, good for you.
I moved it away.
It took 11 years to pay attention to the program you're on.
Exactly. It's amazing.
Well, let's see how consistent you can be. Because as you know, it's more than just sometimes your availability is in doubt.
I
know, but you've got other jobs. You got tough stuff going on. But I don't mean to denigrate. In all seriousness, I'll repeat here what I was saying on Overreaction Monday, the pod. Please get it wherever you can get your podcast. You can watch all of it on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Also, 4:30 Eastern time on Mondays on ESPN2.
Let's go.
On the Deuce.
Yeah.
Overreaction Monday.
The Deuce.
Should we put a 2 in our... in our logo for that?
Oh,
yeah,
yes! Like
yeah, where could we fit an overreaction?
I don't know.
A 2 on the, on the graphic.
Do I don't know. We'll instead of an out. R? Instead of an R?
Oh, that's fun.
I mean, we've incorporated in our pod. We call ourselves ESPNCW now.
Okay.
ESPNCW.
Overreaction tonight.
Ah, there you go.
Or today. Overreaction today. Overreaction today. All right.
Look at us.
As I mentioned there.
RESP never stops.
Fortunate to be in the midst of my 23rd season.
Your Jordan year.
Covering the NFL. My Jordan year. Mattingly, sir.
Well,
and 23rd season with the NFL Network. And I guess, my gosh, it's coming up on almost 30 years since I had hair saying hello to the SportsCenter audience for the first time. But I don't remember a season in which you're entering week 10 Monday night saying it's anybody's league and the anybody. How many contenders did we say coming into the season?
You
were the stingiest. Said, you had 7,
seven
right?
And I had 12. I mean, and you had 15.
My glass is half full. You know.
Well, let's run down the standings. Well, see what you think now.
I mean, right now. Coming into tonight's game, I don't care who wins, loses. They're still Super Bowl contenders. I don't care. So I'm choosing the two of them there. I got the Lions as well. That's 3. I've got the Rams, and I've got the Rams and the Seahawks is 2 more. That's 5, right?
Yep.
Man, do I put the Bucks? Who's coming? Did you hear Bucky Irving nor Chris Godwin's expected to return to practice or play against the Bills this week?
Todd Bowles said today there is no timetable for either of them to return. The deal with Bucky Irving is not the foot, it's the shoulder. He said he has to be able to take a hit before he can return.
Damn.
Oof.
I can't take the Bucks out, though, of being a Super Bowl contender right now.
Who are they beating?
Out of
the teams ahead that
Seattle.
You just listed.
They beat Seattle in Seattle.
When players were playing.
I got it. So there's 5 there. You put up the AFC. Every 8-2 team can do it. I don't care what you think about the Broncos offense. Chargers.
The Broncos are at the bottom
Chiefs,
of the list, though.
I've got to put the Chiefs there. I'm not taking the Bills out yet. I'm just not. Stranger things have happened from teams that are 4-5, let alone 6-3.
So then you got a dozen,
and the Ravens,
right? You take Jacksonville out and put the Chiefs in.
And the Ravens? 2. What are you not? You're going to think the Ravens? You're not going to sit here and say
they're not winning the Super Bowl, man.
Why?
Oh.
Why could you? Why wouldn't you say that? Their defense playing championship quality and Lamar's. They haven't lost. If you're sitting here thinking they're going to win the division from 1-5 when they're 1-5 and then they actually go ahead and do it,
but
then
that says more about Pittsburgh.
Then you'll remove them from winning it, being a Super Bowl contender after they actually
go ahead and do what you're predicting. They're not winning the Super Bowl. They're not going to win a playoff game.
Ooh, wow, Brockman.
But wouldn't you agree there's more than 7 now?
No.
Oh, really?
I don't think there's more than 7. It's dwindled down.
Where are your 7?
Let's take a look real quick.
No, right now. I forgot about what you actually have it written down here. I think I have yours written down here. You had Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Eagles, Lions, Rams, Niners. That was it. Those were your 7. And then I think you added Green Bay.
It's pretty
wide
open.
No.
Yeah, and then I had at Green Bay, so it, yeah.
Yeah, so then you had eight. I'm not just saying it's wide. It's truly it is wide the open. Real yeah, deal, big. Wide open. Like, and then there's always a team that you don't see coming, a la one of the Eli Giants or yeah. Big Ben from the sixth seed. It can absolutely happen.
So that's I shouldn't Lamar. Give up hope?
No, you can give up hope.
Oh, no, yeah, they're today. They're too much.
I mean, let's hope. Hit each give other. Hope.
3-5-1, second place.
But, I mean, in that respect, just saying this about tonight's game, the Eagles and the Packers, the Eagles coming off of a bye, as we all know, the Packers coming off of a home loss to the Carolina Panthers. So they're 5-2-1. They just watched the Lions rebound to go to 6-3. They face each other in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day at the end of the month to kick off the triple header. The Eagles go into Green Bay tonight. After tonight, they're Sunday night against the Lions. So they take on the two top teams in the NFC North, arguably one of the toughest divisions in football, with the Bears being a third place team at 6-3. 4-5, last place team for the Vikings, would be second place in the NFC East. So tonight's game for the Eagles is more about playoff positioning and conference playoff positioning, because the team that played them in last year's NFC Championship game has completely fallen and cannot get up to the point where First Alert may be reaching out to see if they'll do a commercial in Washington, D.C.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
And the Cowboys are 3-5-1, and the Giants are now completely off the chessboard, 2-8 with an interim head coach. The NFC East is Oof. Philadelphia's pretty much. Yeah. It would have to take a massive, massive unforeseen disaster, and that's not going to happen, as we all know, because they only got better in the trade deadline week leading up to it. Yeah. And we'll see Jalen Phillips tonight. Interestingly enough, Jair Alexander returns to Lambeau Field. That'll be something to keep an eye on, and how he's going to try and track any of the wide receivers that are out there. As we all know, Tucker Kraft is done for the season. What a terrible loss in the terrible loss that they had to Carolina. So what, it's Luke Musgrave season to see what's going on there.
Maybe.
Josh Jacobs, will he be able to run the Packers to victory? Because if the Packers lose this, they're 5-3-1, and they're no longer in first place over a Lions team that they've already beaten. And they're in third place because the Bears are now 6-3.
Yeah.
So that tie certainly sticks out like a sore thumb. And what better way to say, we actually are way better than last week. We're way better than last year. We're going to beat the team that beat us in Brazil to start the season and then beat us in Philadelphia to end our season. And then, of course, there's this. An Eagles fan during the non-playing season, around these parts, maybe new to us because we didn't come on the air on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, or Disney Plus, or the ESPN app until the regular season began. As you will find out, since we hopefully have you had you at Hello and we'll keep you here, during the non-playing season, when the schedule comes out, we ask fans to call in and play what we call the win-loss game. Week by week by week, they go, well, that's a win, that's a loss, how they predict their team to go. We had a fan call in, a diehard Eagles fan, saying that this game was not only going to be an Eagles win, but the final score will be 22-10. And the significance of that is the vote that took place in the owners' meeting to try and ban the tush push in a rule proposal put forward by the Green Bay Packers. So tonight, you just know, if there's anything sniffing a short down situation for the Philadelphia Eagles, they're going to come skipping out, maybe cartwheeling out into that tush push formation and running it over and over and over again in Lambeau Field, in the home of the team that put it out there as a rule proposal under the construct of player safety or whatever it was.
They should do it first play of the game. They honestly should do it every play of the first drive.
Out of the box.
Just to prove a point.
Just put tush push their way down the field.
Yeah. Who's going to stop them? You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
Nice. Nice.
Like, what are we doing?
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I mean, so that's tonight, the number of times? Like, what's the over under on number of tush push attempts?
Oh.
4.5 I gave you 4.5
Oh, God. Hammer.
Hammer the over?
Double digits.
Double.
TJ Jefferson?
I'd say about 3 or 4
Okay.
Yeah. They're not going to overdo it. Or maybe they will.
Oh, no, no. This is the night you overdo it.
This is the night you overdo it.
Everyone's going to complain about it online. It'll be a talking point tomorrow.
Well, like, again, it puts the pressure on the defense and the officiating group in similar amounts. Try and stop us. Try and officiate it. Good luck. Both are messy attempts. And none of them seem to be successful against the actual play. And so if the Eagles win tonight, they stay in first place in the conference. And if not, then next week would not only be for the NFC West lead, it would be for the conference lead between 7-2 Seattle and 7-2 Los Angeles. So both of those teams kind of rooting for Green Bay tonight. Green Bay going to 6-2-1, wipe the taste of last week's loss out of their mouths, kind of turn the page from last year's losses to the Eagles, beating the team that they were accused of trying to ban a play because they couldn't beat them. So if you can't beat them, legislate against them. I mean, that is all working in the background of tonight's game on the Disney family of networks. So
no one else is going to give that type of insight other than
I appreciate you saying that, sir, and I appreciate you not going higher register and saying that, even though that's something you deep down really like. I kind of think you dig the segment.
He does. He loves it now.
Well, that's a Thursday.
If I'm right, I do.
Hey, on tomorrow's show, LaDiDi McConkey.
Chargers.
We've got
LaDiDi McConkey.
Mark Schlereth. How many shows are going to have Mark Schlereth, Ted Danson, and Mary Steenburgen, and LaDiDi McConkey in it at once?
I mean,
it's just one.
Pretty, pretty.
Herbert called him Didi in his post game.
Fantastic.
Didi.
We just like Didi. Being heard. We want to be factors. We'll wrap up this show with a Did You Know in a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.